5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Tariffs. The language of tariffs has dominated the conversation at least since April 2nd of this year, upsetting order in terms of the marketplace, the Federal Reserve, people's planning for the year, not only families but corporations around the world. And then there is the enmity of the adversarial states, tariffs thrown around as if they're weapons. Well, are they? And where does that power come from? The power for the President of the United States to impose a 25% tariff, and if you don't do what I say, a 50% tariff. It's been used that loosely, rhetorically, these last days. I welcome Rob Nadelson, writing most recently at Civitas Outlook, Civitas Institute, about tariff power and the possibility that it's based on language that is not consistent with the way it's now being used by the White House. Professor, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. We go to 1980, the extremely ungainly act of Congress, International Emergency Economic Powers Act, Section 1702 is particularly important. But overall, what was the intention of Congress in Jimmy Carter's reelection year? He was not successful. Ronald Reagan was elected in November of that year and would go in a new direction the next year. But what was the intention of Congress with the EPA? Good evening to you.
Good evening. The intention of Congress was to do what Congress has often done before, and that is to purport to delegate to the executive broad powers in order to deal with perceived emergencies. When President Trump issued his executive orders imposing tariffs, he cited that law as the basis for his authority, along with the National Emergencies Act. The issue arises because, as many people who work in constitutional law have recognized recently, there are supposed to be limits as to how much authority Congress can delegate to the executive branch. And so the tariffs that President Trump has imposed, like some of the activities of his immediate predecessor, have raised this issue and sharpened it for public debate.
We now wander into the territory of Supreme Court dominance, which is the three branches of government having authority in their own branch, but not against another branch. Note that the identification of this act is Congress. This is Congress's willingness to transfer some of its authority on tariffs, on trade, to the executive branch, some of it, in the event of, and then conditions matter. We come to that section 1702, which reads, and I'm following Rob's reporting in Civitas Institute's Outlook, the president may, quote, regulate, direct, and compel, nullify, void, prevent, or prohibit transfer, transportation, importation, or dealing in any property in which any foreign country or national threat has any interest by any person or with respect to any property subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. What is striking about that is the conditions look to involve what is a national security threat or by a foreign power. A threat, Rob, do I overread to say a threat is implicit in that language?
Well, the statute itself talks in language of threat, that the president should be responding to an extraordinary threat. However, what constitutes a threat and whether it's extraordinary is something that's subject to argumentation. And of course, the president will take a very broad view of that power. The language that you read was complicated and convoluted, but it actually is a cleaned up version of even more convoluted language in the law. Stripped to its essence, what the law does is purport to grant to the president the power to regulate importation and exportation. And tariffs have long been recognized as a way of doing that. The constitutional problem, the legal problem, arises because the Constitution grants only to Congress the power to regulate foreign commerce, not to the president. And so recently, the Court of International Trade, which is a federal court set up by Congress to deal with issues like this, had to struggle with the issue of whether Congress had overreached itself in granting too much power to the president, and if Congress had not overreached itself, whether the president had overreached itself in interpreting his statutory authority too broadly. The court adopted, and I think, a strained interpretation of the law to say that the law was constitutional, it did not delegate too much power to the president, but then concluded that the president had exceeded the power that had been permissibly granted by Congress.
Let's get to the philosophy of this. You quote in Latin what translates into English, delegated power cannot be delegated. That would, from common sense point of view, immediately apply to what we're talking about. Congress delegated what was delegated to it, and there is nowhere in the Constitution that supports that maneuver.
Yes, the Congress has been delegated power by we the people. The theory of the Constitution is we the people are delegating power to the Congress, to the president, to the judiciary, and to other agents and actors. And just as if I hire somebody to do a job, that person can't slough off his responsibilities to somebody else without my consent, so also under constitutional law, the Congress cannot delegate its executive power to the president. It's long been recognized that the Congress can delegate certain responsibilities to the president. For example, Congress could say something like, we're imposing a 15% tariff, but the president may raise it to 30% if other countries impose a 30% tariff on us. The problem is that the Congress has gone way beyond that. To allow the president to impose tariffs and other restrictions on rather vague circumstances, which are largely open to interpretation by the president. And so the courts are going to be dealing with this question. Has Congress gone too far in sloughing off its responsibility to the president? I personally think it has. But even if Congress has not gone too far, the issue arises, has the president gone too far in interpreting the scope of the power that Congress has given to him?
When I began reading your piece, I presumed that the constitutional challenge was directed against the chief executive for presuming what is not available through the Constitution. I realize now that implicit in this, and I believe you said it in plain English, the question is EPA itself, the act itself by Congress, unconstitutional? Has that ever been addressed by the court between 1980 and now?
You know, I do not believe it has been. It's one of many statutes, and I should explain, it's only one of many statutes that grant very broad power to the president using very loose and malleable standards. And it has not been since 1935 that the court has actually struck down one of these delegations. What makes this unusual or interesting are two factors. Number one, members of the Supreme Court themselves have begun to question whether the court has gone too far in allowing Congress to delegate its powers. And secondly, where traditionally Republicans have been the ones to complain about too much delegation to the president, in this case, it's Democrats who are complaining about too much power being delegated to the president. 12 of the plaintiffs in this case that led to the initial striking down of President Trump's candidates, tariffs, 12 of the plaintiffs were Democrat-controlled states. So this makes a very interesting situation. I think it's ultimately going to go to the Supreme Court.
Yes, and when it gets to the court, are they going to decide about the president's conduct, Congress's conduct, or the EPA itself reaching back in time? Can you presume?
I can't presume. Usually the Supreme Court tries to avoid declaring a federal law unconstitutional. So they may very well try to do what the Court of International Trade did, which was to interpret this law in a way to avoid it being declared unconstitutional. On the other hand, the Supreme Court simply may say that the Court of International Trade went too far, that this interpretation of the law designed to preserve its constitutionality is not a permissible one. And if they do that, then they're going to have to deal with the constitutional issues squarely.
Rob Nadelson, a former constitutional law professor, senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence at the Independent Institute in Denver, Colorado. He's the author most recently of The Original Constitution, What Is Actually Said and Meant. He's a contributor to the Heritage Foundation's Heritage Guide to the Constitution.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.